Our New Testament gospel reading today is taken from early passages in the Gospel of Mark, chapters 2 and 3, starting in verse 23 of chapter 2 and ending with verse 6 of chapter 3. Please stand as you're able for the reading of God's holy word. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisee said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God, where Abiathar was a high priest, and they ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat. And he gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for mankind, not mankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would cure on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then Jesus said to them, "Ask them, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? To save life or to kill?" But the people were silent. He looked around them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart. And he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. But the Pharisees went out immediately, conspired with the Herodians against him about how to destroy Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, soften our hard hearts that we may hear and truly understand and truly live out what Jesus is trying to show us in these stories today. Send your Holy Spirit now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts will be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, I'm curious, where are you on the subject of manners? Manners, you know, like please and thank you and ma'am and sir and opening doors for others and letting others go ahead of you. How are you on that? You pro manners or maybe that's old-timey stuff? I'm not getting a reaction at all. I was hoping one would. I'm getting some thumbs. Okay. All right. We got some pro-manners people here. I mean, there are a lot of manners that people have stopped doing. And I was researching some manners that I remember being taught when I was brought up in the deep South that I don't see it done as much anymore. Like the man should order the woman's food at a restaurant and that he should stand when she enters and hold the door open for her and serve her first and never shake hands with her unless she offers her hand first. Do y'all know those rules? That some of them we still do, some of them we don't do. No elbows on the table, right? I didn't know this. You're supposed to cut up your salad before you eat it. I didn't know that. You don't cough into your right hand. And that makes sense because you probably shake hands with your right hand too, right? So that's a good rule. And apparently you're not supposed to hold a drink with your right hand because you don't want to shake hands with a cold hand if you're holding a cold drink. So those are interesting rules I didn't know about. And when you shake hands, you're supposed to shake hands firmly, right? Not a dead fish. These are manners that I was taught. Maybe they seem old-fashioned, but I've been researching this, and apparently there's new manners that have been created recently. There are books on this, and I was hoping to get lists of those, but the book, they want you to buy the book so you can learn what new manners are. But I found out a few of them, like you're not supposed to bring your cell phone to a meal. Yeah, okay. I see some head nods on that one. I know this one for a fact. You do not binge a show on TV without your spouse. Right? And I love these two. Don't say just kidding. If you mess up, say I'm sorry. Don't, if somebody says something that you know, don't say I know. Say you're right. I like this. Why are there manners? I was taught that it shows respect for others, that it puts others ahead of myself. It teaches humility. So I've got a hypothetical for you. I'm curious what you think about this. At Rice, some of my students call me Dr. Everett, and other students call me Henry. Now, what do you think is the right way they should address me? The thing is, I've never told them which one I prefer, or that I, even if I have a preference. I heard somebody say Dr. Everett. The truth is, I think it reflects more about how they were raised than anything I'm expecting, right? Which gets to the bigger question that I really wanted to talk about when we get into the business of manners. Which is more rude, or is it ruder? More rude. Which is more rude? Having bad manners or chastising somebody who has bad manners? I'm not talking about parents teaching their kids manners. I'm talking about which is ruder, an adult who uses the wrong fork or an adult who says you're using the wrong fork? It's the second one, right? Why are you laughing? I guess there's going to be a conversation on the way home today. For me, the issue comes down ultimately to courtesy. It's not about the rule. It's about the person, right? It's about making somebody feel respected, making them feel honored. It's about lifting someone up instead of putting them down, right? That's what manners is ultimately about. Well, so let's put manners aside. Let's get into today's passage. Today's passage comes early in Jesus' recorded ministry in the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark was the first gospel written, so this is the earliest account we have of Jesus' ministry, and we're in chapter 2, so we're right at the beginning, and a lot has already happened. Mark really packs it in. Already in Mark, we've seen Jesus baptized. We've seen John the Baptist go to prison. We see Jesus roaming the Galilee. We see Jesus calling disciples. We see him going to the synagogue and driving out a demon. He heals a bunch of people, including a leper. He forgives and heals a paralyzed man. There's definitely a buzz going on about Jesus in the Galilee. Okay? But they're not sure what to make of him. They're curious. They're surprised. They're confused. They want to learn more. Is this man for real? Maybe I'll get to see one of these events. So in today's passage, we see two more instances of Jesus doing work on the Sabbath. He already exorcised a demon from somebody in a synagogue on a Sabbath. Now we see two more things on the Sabbath. Now you heard it read. Katie read for us Deuteronomy 5, commandment number 4. Do no work on the Sabbath. Well, specifically it says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Those are the words. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Number 4. What does it mean to keep it holy? Well, it turns out that some of the Ten Commandments have explanations associated with them. And did you know the Ten Commandments are in the Bible twice? This was the Deuteronomy version we heard read today, but it's also in Exodus, Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5. You can read them both. They're there for a reason. They're there twice to make a point. These are pretty important. We need to pay attention to them. And on the fourth commandment about remembering the Sabbath day and keeping it holy, there is an explanation about what it means. Both of them add additional words afterwards to clarify. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it, you shall not do any work. Okay? Don't do any work. And not just you. It gives a list of the people in your household that also can't do any work. So you can't cheat. Maybe you think, I don't have to work, but I can make my servant go and cook supper for me. Nope. Nobody works on the Sabbath. What's the reason? Why is this a big deal? Why should we not work on the Sabbath and keep it holy? Well, in Exodus, the reason it gives is because God created in 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested, so the seventh day is holy. And the point there is to teach us to trust God, that it's not all up to our own labors, that on the seventh day when we aren't doing work, we are intentionally putting our lives in God's hands to take care of us, to train us to depend on God. It's a great lesson, something that we can do, okay? In Deuteronomy, it gives a different reason. It says, because God saved you from slavery in Egypt, and he said so, so you do it because he said so. Another good reason. So it was shocking to the people that Jesus, who was declared God's son at the baptism, is doing work on the Sabbath. Is Jesus breaking a law? Is Jesus setting a bad example? Does Jesus have bad manners? Well, certainly some of the Pharisees thought he did. Now, I have to say, I think the Pharisees get a bad rap in the Gospels. They certainly are in conflict with Jesus, but let's get in their minds a little bit and understand where the Pharisees are coming from. These were Jews who were highly devoted to God, and we witness this by their intentional obedience to the Word of God. They're really trying to get it right. They got started during the time of the exile when the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians and many of the Jewish population was exiled to Babylon. So they couldn't worship at the temple like the Old Testament said you were supposed to do. So what? How do you worship God if you're an exile in a foreign country? So what they said is, we're going to study the law and we're going to try to be holy the way the law describes as our act of worship. Our bodies are holy temples. We're going to worship God by the way we live. It makes sense. Problem was that you can take that to an extreme. You can make it more about perfection than obedience, right? You can say, I'm obeying the law better than so-and-so is, and so I'm more right with God than they are. And you could get very judgmental with that kind of attitude, right? That I'm obeying the laws more perfectly than others. But we know perfection is not possible. Nevertheless, we see this tone of judgment in today's passage with Jesus. First, we see Jesus and his disciples, and they're plucking grains in the field. Now, that's hardly work, but it counts as work. They're doing something, right? They're plucking grains. They're harvesting, and you're not supposed to harvest on the Sabbath. Now, obviously, they were hungry, or they wouldn't have been doing that. And plucking grains, I mean, grains is a food, yuck. They must have been really hungry if they were going to be satisfied with grains for lunch. But the Pharisees saw two things wrong in what was happening here. First is the Sabbath, and gathering grains is harvesting, and that's work. Second, Jesus is letting his disciples do this. So as a teacher, as a rabbi, he's leading his followers astray, and that's just as dangerous to them because he's teaching them something that they believe is against God's law. So they're saying, who is this guy? Who does he think he is that he can call himself a man of God, and yet he's plucking grains out in the field? But Jesus has an answer, and one that may not make a lot of sense to us today, but made sense to them then. Jesus answered by saying, don't you remember what happened with David? If you want to read the story, it's in 1 Samuel chapter 21. Don't you remember what happened with David when he went to the priest because his men were hungry? The priest had bread. The bread had been in the temple. The bread had been consecrated to God. It hadn't been eaten. It's day-old bread. It's not being used anymore. And yeah, the law said only the priest was supposed to eat it. But David said, can we have it? We're dying. You're not going to eat it anyway. Can we have it? The priest let David have it. And Jesus points out this story. Yeah, it was against the law for them to eat the bread, but the priest gave it to them, so that makes it okay. And if a priest can show compassion by giving food, so can we. I'm being compassionate. Now, the second story we see is when Jesus is in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he sees this man with the withered hand. Now, this time, Jesus goes on the offensive. He wants to heal this guy, but he's in the synagogue, and he knows he's going to get grief if he heals somebody on the Sabbath in the synagogue in God's house. So he asks him, what's it lawful to do? What can I do here today with this man right in front of me who has a withered hand? No answer. Nobody wants to respond to that. In fact, what's going on in their heads is there's really a conflict of two laws here. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy, do no work. That's the easy one. But also, all over the Old Testament, I have an example from Proverbs 3:27 as one example of this. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act. Do good whenever you can, if it's in your power to act. Which is the one you have to obey? They would seem to be in conflict. Which is the right one to do? And Jesus gets angry that they can't figure out which one is the right one to do. You get it, right? You heal the man. Why is this hard? So he shows them, and he heals the man. And they're saying, who is this guy? Not only did he break the Sabbath, he actually healed a man. Well, the Pharisees and the Herodians cannot have any more of this. So they conspire to destroy him this early in his ministry. What was so bad about what Jesus did? In both cases, he showed compassion, didn't he? Hungry disciples, a crippled man. Yeah, it was work on the Sabbath, but it was off. It was, I guess you could say, trumped by a higher law. He offered help, which none of his critics seemed to get. You should always ask the question that they weren't asking of themselves, these Pharisees. Which would make God happier? Okay, which would make God happier? Avoiding Sabbath work or helping someone in need? If you ask it like that, it's really obvious, right? And if you're worried about making God mad, you can ask the same question. Which would make God angrier? Doing work on the Sabbath or not helping someone in need? Again, the answer is very obvious. That's the higher question. By showing compassion, Jesus is teaching this larger lesson. The Sabbath was made for mankind, not mankind for the Sabbath. Stated another way, as it's written in James chapter 2, verse 13, I love this verse. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Let me read that again. Mercy triumphs over judgment. In other words, we should be lifting people up, not putting them down. Just like manners, right? Isn't that the point of manners? In both cases, it's not about the rules. It's about the respect. It's about the compassion. Is it judgmental to get upset when others don't have good manners? Maybe. But isn't it more reasonable to get upset when disrespect is shown? Now, I need to address one thing before we wrap up. Some people will read this passage and say, okay, Jesus has just taught us another lesson. We can pick and choose which parts of Scripture we pay attention to in the circumstance. Maybe even throw out parts of the Bible that are outdated, that are relics. Honor the Sabbath. We've pretty much given up on that as a society, haven't we? I remember blue laws when I was a kid. I don't know if any of our kids know what a blue law is. Y'all, older people, you recognize, you remember blue laws, right? Blue laws are Chick-fil-A's closed, right? Specs is closed. You can't go to those two places on a Sunday. There was a lot more that was closed when I was a kid on Sunday than that. The Kmart moved into our town and they were going to be open on Sunday. We just had a fit. We're going to go home and do some work today, aren't we? We're going to probably cook a meal, do some chores around the house. We don't avoid work on the Sabbath anymore. It's an old law. In the same vein, people will say that there are other laws in the Old Testament that we can set aside. I mean, these laws of the Bible, they're 2,000 or 3,000 years old. I mean, come on. laws in particular that have been in the news today about sexual immorality are laws that are being pushed away and saying, maybe they're not so relevant to us anymore. They're so old. Some fellow Christians will say, look, Jesus is throwing out outdated laws at this passage today. But I want you to notice something if somebody says that to you. Jesus did not make up a new law on the spot to align with changing cultural norms, okay? And a cultural revolution had just happened in Jesus' day. A cultural revolution that had happened since the Ten Commandments were sent down. They had had Socrates and Plato and Aristotle, and this Greek philosophy had transformed thinking like science has today. And Jesus did not react to that by saying, you know, we're smarter now. We have Greek philosophy. We don't need to hold on to these outdated traditions. The Sabbath laws were fine for our ancestors, but they don't apply to us anymore. Instead, what Jesus did was he doubled down. He went back to Scripture. He quoted and interpreted Scripture to justify and explain why he was doing what he was doing. And then he reminded them of the greater truth behind that Scripture, which is to explain what God's heart is all about. Friends, if there's no Scripture to justify an act, beware. Beware that you may be reinventing God to reflect your own sensibilities instead of remaking yourself to reflect God's sensibilities. Our job as Christians is to look more like Christ instead of make Christ look more like us. But I want to end where I began, with manners. If you want to have good manners, what do you do if you disagree with somebody? Do you argue? Do you attack them? Do you make them feel stupid for not agreeing with you? Or do you cave in? Do you pretend you agree with them just for the sake of getting along? What does good manners require? What does God's heart require? What would make God happiest? Simple. Love them. Love them. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your enemies as yourself. Love one another as Christ has loved us. It's okay if we don't agree on everything. God made us different for a reason. Manners is about showing respect even to those with whom we disagree. And that's the lesson from today's reading too. It's not just that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. It's that we must show compassion and kindness to those in need, no matter what. The rules and laws that God gave us were guides, not walls. Their purpose was to teach us what matters to God, how to live lives that reflect who God is. Because ultimately, God is about loving kindness. God is about mercy. God is about grace, even to enemies, even to us. So if you claim you follow Jesus Christ, you must do like he did. Go out of your way to show good manners, to show compassion, show humility, because law, like manners, is not about separating good do-gooders from sinners. They're both about lifting people up, not putting them down. Amen? Amen.